Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, FM McMaster Radio, and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. We are your hosts. I am Walter Duraglia, and I am joined by Chris Owen, as always, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Chris.
Walter, how are you today?
Chris, I'm doing great. You?
I'm doing fantastic.
That's good to hear, Chris. That's good to hear. Chris, a special show for us today. We have young James, the engineer. He bought some sort of huge device here.
Yeah,
we can
barely fit into the room with all this technical equipment we have here now.
And so we're hoping that the sound quality is much improved from the week before.
Yes.
We apologize for that last week's show.
Yes, for our loyal listeners out there that couldn't really make out what we were talking about last week, we do apologize. It was a good show, but I know some of the sound quality wasn't as up to snuff as we would like it.
Up to snuff.
Yes.
Anyways, Chris, as always, we're it's Wednesday. We're here to talk comics. We're here to talk initially about comics that are hitting the stands today at your local comic book store.
And is new this week today. And, of course, new this week is brought to you by the Latverian Ministry of Tourism. Come and see our quaint local town and tour an ancient castle. All hail doom.
Good work. Yes. Well, Chris, we're going to start today with DC Comics.
DC.
Now, Bruce Wayne. Now, Bruce Wayne is coming back as
he's that Bruce Wayne. He's that guy that does that whole little Batman thing.
Yeah, he
right?
did the whole Batman thing for I don't know eight decades or something
like that. Yeah. The guy should really get a new career.
Yes, Bruce Wayne, The Road Home. There are four comic books today. I think they're one shots. There are four comic books today coming out revolving around the whole Bruce Wayne, The Road Home. One is Batgirl. The other one is Outsiders. Another one is Batman and Robin. And another one is Red Robin.
Now, you as a retailer, now, do you notice a lot of people being interested in this whole Batman the Road Home thing? Or is it overkill by now?
No, this is the problem. Everybody, you know, when Morrison technically killed him off in the RIP storyline, everybody was up in arms. But from the people I've talked to, the Batman fans, they like this Dick Grayson kid as Batman.
Dick Grayson. I heard he was like, I don't know, Robin at one point.
Yeah, he was apparently.
Yeah.
And the thing is, people are liking Dick Grayson as
Batman.
Yes,
I have heard that. And from what I've read, I do like him as Batman as well.
The thing, though, is now Bruce Wayne is coming back.
Yep.
What goes on? What happens?
Well, you know, there's with these four different titles coming on, I'm sure there's going to be all these convoluted storylines about who should be Batman and will Dick Grayson actually retain the mantle of Batman? And I'm sure it's not going to be. I'm sure Bruce Wayne is going to come back.
You think
as
they'll
Batman.
Like have a fight?
You know, the relationship between Dick Grayson and Batman has always been this sort of weird father son relationship where they don't really get along very well, but yet they respect each other. So I'm wondering if there's going to be some sort of fight. There's going to be some sort of issue going on where they're not too. I'm just wondering. I don't know how it's going to end, of course, but I'm hoping that Dick Grayson has a little bit more credibility by the end of it.
So at the end of the day, though, three, four, 5 months down the road, when this all kind of settles, is Bruce Wayne Batman or is Dick Grayson Batman? Your call, Chris.
I'm going to have to say that Bruce Wayne will be Batman. I'm going to hand it over to you. Walter, answer.
There will be two Batmen.
Ooh, two Batmen. Wow, that's very interesting. Okay.
Batman.
I disagree with you there, but we will see what happens.
Oh, okay. So anyway, the thing, though, again, this is going to work. DC is going to sell a lot of these books today because a lot of people are very interested in what's going on with the whole Batman story arc.
All right. Yes.
I'm going to switch over to Marvel. Tomb of Terror, number one, hits the stands today.
Tomb of Terror.
Tomb of Terror.
Well, you know, it is Halloween coming up soon. It is the month of October. So Marvel has been known for putting out books that revolve around the Halloween theme for a number of years now. I mean, they usually have some sort of monster book or something like that. I remember there's The Rise of the Midnight Suns a few years ago, and they always come out with like a Ghost Rider special or a Tomb of Dracula special or Where Monsters Dwell or something like that. And so it's not surprising that they're coming out with yet another monster Halloween horror type comic around the Halloween October month.
you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing with Marvel. They have all these properties. They have Frankenstein, the Mummy, the Living Mummy, is it?
Yes, the Living Mummy, yeah.
You know, Tomb of Dracula.
Yeah, the Werewolf by Night.
Werewolf by Night, yeah. Son of Satan, yeah. You know, Man-Thing. It's proven time and time again, none of these cats can carry their own title.
Not anymore. You know, it's a different time period. You know, back in the 70s, of course, a lot of these books went for a number of different issues.
Yeah, you're right.
They ran for a long time. But for whatever reason, I don't know if it's that, you know, we have a much more savvy readership than we did back in the 70s, and they require more horror, more gore in their horror comics, mm-hmm. Which I think has probably something to do with it. But, you know, the romantic vampire doesn't really seem to cut it anymore the way Tomb of Dracula did. Now they want 30 Days of Night vampire, right? They want the blood.
Or they want a gay vampire.
Or they want the homosexual vampire. That's right, right, yeah.
Yeah. There's no middle of the road.
There's no middle of the road anymore.
Bread and
yeah.
butter,
no,
Bram
not anymore.
Stoker
no, that's right, right. No. And of course, same goes with werewolves. I mean, and we see that with like the whole Twilight series now. They've got werewolves, and there's always some sort of love connection. And there's no more werewolves that just go around, you know,
ripping
people's hearts out, right? Like, yeah, yeah. It's
that's when vampires were vampires.
That's when a werewolf was a werewolf,
and werewolves were werewolves.
Yeah, the good old days.
Yes,
and
nostalgia.
And disco bell bottoms ruled the world.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I wish Marvel the best with Tomb of Terror number one. Check it out today at your local comic book store.
Yes.
Also, Chris, Turok, Son of Stone, number one, is hitting the stands today from our friends at Dark Horse Comics.
Yes, and the interesting thing about that is that it's being written by Jim Shooter.
You are correct.
Now, Jim Shooter, of course, was the sort of the editor-in-chief, the creator, the main guy for the Valiant series of comic books that came out back in the 90s.
Yes.
And they revamped the Gold Key comics back then. So they had the Turok, Son of Stone, they had Solar, Magnus, Robot Fighter, all that kind of stuff. And of course, as I was saying, Turok was one of the big comics back then. In fact, it was actually so huge that there was a very popular video game made for it for, I think it was the Sega system, and it was extremely popular, and I think they've even revamped the whole video game of Turok a number of times. And now, of course, they're redoing the character in a comic book form. And Jim Shooter, the guy that did Valiant back then, is redoing it again now. So at least the right person is doing it.
Right. And you know what? I mean, I've read some old Turok, so it's great stories. The cool part about this book, it is a 48-pager, and they do reprint the very first Turok story back from 1954.
Oh, very cool.
Which I believe was a Dell comic
yeah.
back then. And I do believe, as an old comic guy, that was the first Dell property that was an original Dell property.
Oh,
because
okay,
Dell,
right,
if you
right,
remember
right.
at the time, they were just heavily licensing yep. Disney and Warner Brothers and Bugs Bunny and all that kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
stuff. So, all right. That we're going to end because we have a busy show, Chris. Lots of news this week.
We do have a busy show for us this week.
And we're going to end what's this segment called? We just
that would be called New This Week.
Yeah.
That would be called
New
This Week.
So please head into your local comic book store today. Check everything out that is new this week.
All right. Sounds good. Let's listen to a little bit of Super Friends.
Banded together from remote galaxies are 13 of the most sinister villains of all time. The Legion of Doom. Dedicated to a single objective, the conquest of the universe. Only one group dares to challenge this intergalactic threat, the Super Friends. The Justice League of America versus the Legion of Doom. This is the Challenge of the Super Friends.
And Chris, as always, an excellent segue into industry news.
How is that possibly a segue into industry news?
Chris, obviously, you know nothing of modern agriculture.
Clearly, I don't.
All right. Chris, by the way, industry news this week is brought to you by the fall collection of Infinity Gauntlets. If you need a fashion accessory to both control the universe and keep your hands warm on a chilly autumn day, why not try an Infinity Gauntlet?
Well, really, you know, what better season to start the fall collection than, you know,
an Infinity Gauntlet.
An Infinity Gauntlet, yeah.
All right. Chris, industry news, I don't know where to start. I knew where to start because I know that you are a Richie Rich fan.
I am. I am a huge – in fact, you know what? I have to say, for those of you that don't know me very well out there, which is – most of you, if not all of you. Richie Rich was actually the comic that got me interested in comics in the first place. So, you know, maybe some of you are now hating Richie Rich for, you know, for having me be part of the show now. But nonetheless, Richie Rich is the reason for me getting into comics.
Well, Chris, rejoice, because Richie Rich is returning to comics.
Yeah, you know what? I read a little bit about this, and I don't know if I can rejoice all that much.
No,
you know what? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I do believe that they're remaking the Richie Rich comic, and I'm not entirely too sure if he's older or not. However, the premise is that now he's going to go around doing good deeds around the world and sort of helping people out and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that is the premise.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, listen, I think it could work.
Come on. Now, hold on a second here. Now, let's not forget that the original Richie Rich comic was meant to be like, you know, Richie Rich gets in trouble and, you know, he gets the help of Pee Wee and Freckles or Gloria or Cadbury or, you know, one of his many different friends or Butler or something like that.
Yeah, I think Cadbury, I think he's being updated too. His new name will be Schweppes.
That was terrible.
Okay.
That was terrible.
All right.
But you know what? They had little fun little storylines, and you know, occasionally he'd be turned into a superhero or a monster or something like that. It was great.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of him just kind of jet-setting across the world, giving out money or helping, building.
Yeah, where do you go with that?
Yeah. It just sounds.
Remember Richie Rich, though? Remember in the 70s? There was like 800 titles of Richie Rich.
Yeah, absolutely.
Richie Rich Millions, Richie Rich Cash, Richie Rich Billions.
Richie Rich Vaults.
Yeah, Vault and all that kind of stuff. They might do that again, but times have changed, Chris.
Well, they have.
Richie Rich Bling.
I like it. Richie Rich Mo Money.
That's even better. Richie Rich Booyah.
Booyah. There you go. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah.
Well, listen.
We show made of money.
Yeah. We wish Richie Rich the best because Richie Rich is cool.
Right, well,
and if anything, if this Richie Rich relaunch can turn people back to some of the old, you know,
now I gotta say, you know, now hold on a second here. So now
back it up a bit.
Back it up. Beep beep beep. You know, it's okay. You know how we have a lot of the so called aristocrats, the aristocracy of North America includes the likes of such notable people as Paris Hilton. So does that mean that, you know, now given Paris Hilton's, you know, past record of doing such videotapes that are explicit and things like that, does that now mean that Richie Rich will have to be involved in such aristocratic kind of endeavors?
Richie Rich will remain pure as the driven snow.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm sure.
I hope so.
Yeah.
So
do I.
All right.
Okay, Chris, we're going to move on to talk about a show that you and I had promised the viewers we would go to.
And I know, and we didn't go.
And we didn't go.
Yeah.
So
why didn't we go?
I have no idea.
You know what? I think part of it was we didn't know it was the Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And my kids had a hockey tournament in North Ontario. So
I think I had to go to my girlfriend's parents for dinner.
Okay. Yeah. Chris, New York City Comic Con tops 95,000 attendees.
That is insane. Insane. Yes. 95,000 people go to a comic book convention, and you know what? And this, if nothing else, just proves to the world how important the comic book medium is.
Yes, it does prove
really?
To the world how important the comic book medium is. You're right. They actually had 2,900 press attendees.
You know what? I'm wondering if those are people that just said that they have a website or something.
I know. We could have gotten in. I think there is a threshold. You have to because the last time we went, you have to email them the fact that you have more than your statistics and,
right.
and your
oh,
website.
Okay,
you have
okay,
to forward
okay.
them your information.
Right,
so
right.
if they go on and you have, you know, eight people viewing.
Looking at your website.
Yeah, which is you repeating
yeah,
going
right,
on.
Right, right.
On different computers, you know, you won't get in.
Right.
So that's a 60% increase in media coverage.
That's pretty big.
For this con. So it's
yeah.
it's a really, really big show. Now, the thing is now we talked about this about a couple of weeks ago, is San Diego, they've signed that lease through the next 4 years,
yep.
which caps their attendance
that's
at 125,000,
yep.
because that's all that can go through that town, apparently, on a weekend.
Right,
now,
right,
now,
right.
This
right,
begs
right.
the question, in 4 years, will the New York City Comic Con be the world's biggest comic
well,
con?
Well, you know, I mean, the Javits Center, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I mean, the Javits Center can hold more than 95,000 people.
Yeah, we were in there.
We were there. The place is enormous, right?
Yeah, huge.
So it's very, very possible that they can surpass the San Diego Comic Con by having 150,000, 175,000 people, right? If they can increase it to, you know, having 4 or 5 days or whatever it is. Right.
Yeah, because it is a 3-day show still, and there was talk on the internet of trying to get it to a 4 or 5-day event.
If they make it a 4-day, then all of a sudden you're looking at possibly upwards of another 20,000 people or so going to that show, which
yeah.
now is at 115,000. You know, you increase the size of it, you promote it a little bit more, all of a sudden now you've got 150,000.
Yeah. I think it's just growing organically. I mean, that's the fifth year, and it's at 95,000.
Yeah.
I think, though, too, is still in publishing, in media. I know that L.A., but New York is still a huge heavyweight, and it's the center of
for
the
sure.
whole Eastern
for sure.
industry,
I mean,
really.
When people say they want to go on a vacation, New York is a place where they would want to go.
Yep.
San Diego, not so much. I'm not saying that they wouldn't.
Yes.
However, you know, if you had your choice of going to a vacation spot,
mm-hmm.
I would say that most people would choose New York over San Diego.
Fair enough.
In and of its own accord. Now, having said that, San Diego has been doing this for a number of years longer than New York. But I think you know, New York is the publishing center for DC and Marvel, the two hotbed publishers in the comic book industry. So, you know what? Why not have it be the biggest place?
Now, you're right. What I'd honestly like to see, first of all, I'd like to see Toronto be the third guy in.
Yes.
I really, really want to see the Fan Expo in Toronto be, you know, the right up there with these two. But within the United States, I just hope that New York does not try to mimic San Diego. Because what happens with San Diego, as you know, San Diego is a few hours drive from Los Angeles.
Right.
Now, the Hollywood industry is all into San Diego.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And what I'd like to see is, like, say, the publishing industry, which is New York-based,
yeah.
is all into New York.
Yeah, I mean, really, the San Diego Comic-Con, although it's called Comic-Con, it's really not much. I mean, it is a comic book convention, but not as much anymore. I mean, you know, talking to people that have been to the Comic Con, they say if you want to get a breather from walking down the aisles, just go to where the old vintage comic book people are, right? Because that happens to be a place where nobody's going anymore. So it's become more of a media event rather than a comic convention. And I would like to see the New York Comic Con, if they do take it over as being number one, I'd like to see them revert it back to being more about the comic books, right?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Well, listen, what I'm happy about is conventions are growing. The whole comic book
industry is
growing. What's good for the New York City Comic Con is good for comic books.
Yeah, for
Hopefully
sure.
Hopefully it's good for comic book retailers.
Well, I mean, you know, even the last time you and I were there, we made a point of going to, you know, Midtown Comics and, you know, going
yeah.
to visit all the comic
yeah.
book shops as well, right?
Yeah.
So it became a big thing for us to go visit all these things.
Excellent. All right, Chris, we're going to put that off to the side and move on.
Yes.
Oh, Chris, this is very exciting news for me, being a big hockey fan. Stan Lee scores a deal with the NHL.
Dun, 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 yeah, sorry.
Okay. Stan apparently has this thing called the Guardian Project. Stick with me here.
All
okay?
right. Okay.
The Guardian Project. So there are 30 teams in the NHL. So they're developing 30 superheroes, one for each team. And they're supposed to exemplify the character and the passion and the personality and the rivalries of each of these teams.
You know what? This has Super Pro written all over it. The Super Pro, for those of you who don't know, was a bad football comic in the 90s, and it was terrible then, and really sports and comics, you know, really, I don't know if they mix.
I don't know, Chris. I'm going to disagree because I'm high on this. This can be cool. This can be like, you know, the Flyers can be like Hawkman or something.
True.
You know, so Flames will be like, you know,
Flame on. So does that mean that, you know, the Leafs will never win?
Ouch. Yeah, you don't want to back that Leaf hero in a fight. That's for sure.
Go get him, Leaf guy. That's great.
You know what, too?
Can you
imagine, like, say, the Thrasher superhero?
Yeah.
He saves the day, but nobody's there to watch him.
Well, you know what? You can basically put that character in with the Phoenix Coyotes you know.
Panthers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but listen, there's potential here. They're like pajamas, you know, like kids. You know how kids have, like, the Toronto Maple Leaf pajamas now? But they'll have that lame-ass Leaf hero now on it, you know, that never wins a fight. And,
so wait, does that mean all the Canadians will be like, you know, French and drunk or
no? Hello, hey, he did not mean that.
Oui.
He did not mean that. They might be smoking, but they won't be drunk.
I'm just kidding. I kid because I love.
All right. No, what I'm excited about is seeing the progressive change in the Vancouver Canuck Heroes uniform.
How bad they're going to get?
Worse and worse and worse as the season goes on. All right. Well, listen, I thought we'd have way more on that.
You know,
Star, Chris,
you know. Okay, but hold on. I got to say,
we should have Don McLean on.
Don Cherry. Don McLean. Isn't Don McLean? Isn't he the guy that sings like American Pie?
Singing
bye, Miss America.
Who's the guy with Don Cherry?
Hello, Leafs. Dan McLean?
Dan McLean.
Yeah. Hey, you know, whatever. Don, Dan, you know.
Same thing. All right. Hey, either way you look at it, it's not going to work. Ron McLean.
Sorry. our engineer James here.
Signaled us from the booth.
Does that mean that Don Cherry's going to get a superhero too? Or he'll be like the Watcher.
He'll be like the Punisher. As you can see, fans, comic fans, hockey fans, the possibilities are endless.
Are endless for the ripping on this idea because it's terrible.
Right.
It's terrible.
All right, Chris, can you imagine if you and I sat down and wrote a few things for this segment?
Incredible.
It might have been funnier.
The kind of things that we could possibly come. You know, it's too bad we don't write these things beforehand, eh?
I know. Hey, more industry news.
Yes.
Because there's lots.
Apparently.
It's been a busy week. Flash and Green Lantern 2.
Right.
The scripts apparently are heading to Warner's.
Green Lantern 2. Green Lantern 1's not even out yet.
I know. But this is the thing. Here is the thing.
Here's the thing.
The I guess what people have been viewing it, the samples or whatever you call it, the screenings.
Yeah.
And everybody's in awe of it. And the studio actually likes the response they've got just from this limited amount of viewings.
Okay.
And they're green lighting number two.
Already?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And The Flash is getting a script handed into Warner's.
That's crazy.
As well.
Holy cow. Well, you know, I got to say that of the characters that they could have made a movie from him, I thought Flash would have been a better one before Green Lantern. I mean, The Flash did have its own TV series for a little while. However, unfortunately, for whatever reason, they didn't use the real villains, which is, you know, the funny thing about a lot of these characters, like, okay, The Flash is a great character, but you know what makes him really great are the villains, right?
Yes.
You know, Flash is just a guy that runs fast.
Yes.
But you know what? In order to make him great, he's got a great cast of supporting characters of villains.
Right.
You've got Captain Cold. You've got Mirror Master. You know, Reverse Flash. The list goes on and on and on, right? So, you know, that's what makes the character great. So I was surprised when they announced the Green Lantern movie because really, you've got Sinestro. You've got Hector Hammond. You've got a couple other guys, and then you're like, you know, it kind of dies off. But you know, with The Flash, you've got a lot of really great characters, which they could have made a great movie out of with a lot of great supporting characters. And in the end, Gorilla Grodd, even, you know,
right?
You know, all these great characters. So I'm actually very excited to hear that they have another a Flash movie coming out.
Okay. Well, you know, I think you're right, though. I think the reason why Flash, the TV series, never worked, and a movie might work, is, like you said, Flash runs fast.
Right.
So in a TV series, it's like week 23. Okay, it's right near the end.
Fair enough.
He's going to sprint.
yeah, you're
and
right.
Save the day.
You're right.
Where it's like a repetitive same thing.
Yeah, you're right.
Where and in a movie you can tackle that issue once, maybe twice with a sequel.
And it seems like with movies you can make things a little more fantastical, if that's a word. You can make things a little more unbelievable in a movie than you can in a TV series, because it seems like with TV series they want to have some sort of scientific grounding with it, right?
Whereas
with movies you can kind of do whatever you want and then make it believable almost.
All right, good point. Chris, we have to move on again. There's so much to cover this week.
Are we going to have any kind of you know, musical interlude here? I'm just curious.
We might.
We might. You know,
do you have something queued up right now? Because there's so much material.
I know, but
I want to give the listeners a rest.
I think we should give the listeners a rest and have them listen to. I've got Meet the Creeper, Pink Pussy Mix by Rob Zombie here. Here we go.
Love.
Yes, that, of course, was Cool Moe Dee.
That wasn't even close to Cool Moe Dee.
It wasn't Cool Moe Dee?
No, it was not. That was Rob Zombie.
Rob Zombie.
From,
that's what I meant.
American Music's a Strip By.
Yes, yes. All right, Chris.
All right, well, you know what? We have the second half of industry news, and our next segment of our show has been brought to you by the Ultimate Nullifier. Do you or someone you love need to nullify something ultimately? The Ultimate Nullifier is the tool for you, brought to you by Galacticorp.
Nice. That's a good sponsor.
Yes.
Chris, we're going to continue with industry news, and I want to talk about Celebrity Chef. Is writing a Vertigo title. This guy named Anthony Bourdain.
Hold on, hold on. A celebrity chef or the celebrity chef?
Celebrity Chef, the TV show Celebrity Chef.
Oh, that's
chef.
A show.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, okay.
There's a chef.
And it's called Celebrity Chef.
Yeah, and he has a show.
Okay.
And he's writing a comic book now.
Okay, hold on. Beep, beep. You know, just hold on. Let's just... We got to pause and talk about this for a second here.
All right.
You're telling me right now.
Yes.
That there's a chef.
Yes.
A celebrity chef.
Yes.
Chef. A celebrity chef that actually is going to write a comic book.
Yeah. The comic book he's going to write is going to be for Vertigo, DC Vertigo.
Okay. Now, well, it would have to be off the wall because, I mean, really, why else would a chef be writing a comic book?
Well, the
I mean, I'm sure he's very good at what he does, but I don't know if he's good at writing comic books.
He may be better.
if he's a celebrity chef, I'm hoping that he's pretty good at being a chef.
Listen, the book is called Get Jiro or Get Yiro.
Okay.
It's J-I-R-O.
J.
And as a person from the Balkan states, I will say Yiro.
Okay.
Right? But it could be Get Jiro.
Okay, fair enough.
And what it's about, the premise here is we're in a future world where the chefs control everything. So each city has a big chef boss.
Okay, hold on.
And they try to recruit really good chefs to their city.
Does this not sound to you like some sort of childhood dream? You know, when you're a kid, you're like, I know this is going to be the part of the series where the nerds rule the world, and now it's like the chef is writing. This is the series where the chefs rule the world.
Right. I think they've given this guy free license, and he's going to go, hey, I'm going to make the chefs. It's all about the chefs. So this chef is trying to get this guy Jiro to Los Angeles because he apparently is, the be-all and end-all of a sushi chef.
Okay, you know what? I will give you the fact that maybe this might be some sort of weird take on an underworld mafia type, thing where, the chefs will rule the world because food is such an extravagant thing in the future that, those who rule the food rule the world kind of thing. It's a possibility that I might be able to buy into.
You know what? The thing that excites me about it is that it's like city states, so Los Angeles has got this chef boss and he's trying to get Jiro. And I'm thinking okay, what other city states have their boss chef? So does Stockholm have the Swedish chef from the Muppets?
From the Muppets? Yeah, okay, that's great. Okay, so does that also – hold on. Does that mean that Shanghai is going to have Walk with Yan?
Oh, what the heck? Oh, I want to get Jiro. What the heck?
Take a walk on the wild side.
Yeah, what the heck? And remember, Galloping Gourmet. Remember Galloping Gourmet?
Kind of, yeah. Oh. I'm a little young for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's like a really drunk English guy that used to...
Right.
And he'd go, I say.
I say.
I say we get this Jiro chop.
Pip, cheerio.
Yes.
Now, okay, does that mean that, hold on now, it sounds to me like the London area might have a few people because if it's got the Galloping Gourmet, it's got to have Julia Child.
Ooh.
Well, this is going to be a great souffle.
Yeah, well, good point, Chris. I think the Americans, though, they'll trump everybody with
Absolutely.
Chef Boyardee.
Wait, hold on. Does that mean that Chef Boyardee is going to go up against Chef Ramsay from Top Chef or the Hell's Kitchen?
I don't know. This is why comics are exciting.
Hold on. Beep, beep. Okay, hold on. Did you just say that chef comics about fighting chefs is why comics are exciting? That's not, forget about Batman or Superman or the Hulk or anything. Thor, holding the mighty Mjolnir or the hammer forget about all that. But the chefs is
Chef Ramsay. For flippin' sakes. Buy my flipping comic.
Okay,
what the good part about this and the best part about this whole thing is,
what's that?
You and I promote comic books. You and I promote reading comic books.
Yes, we do.
You and I promote the importance of comic books in society and stuff. Is that Chef Comics will be available in bargain bins. Very, very soon.
You know what? Let's at least wait and give it a try. You never know how terrible or how good it could be. I mean, you know what? Let's not forget that other comics in the past, such like namely Sandman, one of my favorite comics of all time, was almost canceled after the first few issues because of poor sales and ended up being such a great series after all. So you know what? Let's just try to be positive about the Swedish Chef having its own comic, and perhaps having Beaker as its sidekick or whatever. I'm okay with that. But we'll give it a try.
I just want a cameo by the Hecklers. The old guys.
Oh yeah, Statler and Waldorf.
I'm glad they're not here today, Chris. We'd be in trouble.
I know, it's true.
All right, Chris. I'm going to go on to the next topic.
Okay.
Very big news. Very good news for all comic book fans across the world. Across Canada. North America, but at the New York City Comic Con, DC announced that they are rolling back, like Walmart, really. They're rolling back the prices to $2.99 for all comic books. The $3.99 experiment is done for DC.
I think and this could be a very long topic of conversation, but I think that the idea of rolling back the dollar figure for comic books is a good idea. Because with the advent of video games and online comics and other media taking up time for comics, I think it's going to be tough to get people to be interested in comic books again. So, I think rolling back the prices is probably a good idea to keep people interested in a long-term investment.
I think you're right. You're a comic historian. I don't know the financial part of comics historically, but
I was going to say, what's funny is that oddly enough that DC is doing this, because even years ago DC were always the lesser expensive comics back in the day. They were always 20 cents, whereas opposed to Marvel was 25 cents. They were still 10 cents when Marvel was 12 cents. DC always tried to be cheaper than the Marvel comics. And I remember even just a few short years ago, a few short years ago, they were the ones that came out with the Batman 10-cent adventure, and they got all the people who were interested in Batman again by publishing a comic that was literally 10 cents, right? And then, of course, Marvel tried to outdo them with the 9-cent adventure and all these other kind of things. But DC were the ones that went ahead and tried to be the forerunners in keeping readers interested at a cheap price.
You're right. Now, again, going backwards in time and back to the 10 cents, back to the golden age of comics, the thing I don't understand, and maybe somebody can help us out through email or something like that, but I would imagine my thought was always that the comic book, the take from the comic wasn't the important take. It's almost like a newspaper. You want to get the comic out there because you want the advertiser to know the amount of circulation you're getting. So the $3 that they're making on 100,000 copies is obviously 300,000. But they're maybe getting, I don't know, half that or 40% of that, 100,000. But maybe per book they're making advertising more than that, and maybe they're making licensing licensing on that character, well, if they're keeping him viable. More than that,
yeah,
you know, maybe it's not the comic revenue that's important for
you
these publishers.
Maybe that's an avenue that they should consider more, is maybe putting a little bit more advertising into their books, making them a little bit thicker. You know, put a few more ads, four more pages of ads in the book, and make the comic book a little less expensive, and then maybe they'll have more readership, right? I mean, I think that's probably a smart way of doing it. Now, having said that, maybe this is something that they're like, yeah, if only we could get four more pages of ads, if only people would advertise more. And I don't know if people are interested in reading comic books anymore. You know, maybe it's all going online, and I don't know the answer to that. I know that some schools of thought think that the iPad, the iTouch, all that kind of stuff is the way that comic books are going to go. They're going to go to the screen format. Whereas other people are going to say that, hey, you know what? I enjoy going to the comic book store. It's part of my daily routine, or my weekly routine, to go to the comic book store and socialize and meet up with people and talk about these things. And buy my physical comic book and put it in my hand and read it wherever I want to read it, whether it be on my bed or in my living room or in my bathtub
or
my car or wherever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the answer to that is. I think the jury's still out. I think that maybe the people don't necessarily like holding the iPad to read their comic books. I think there's something special about actually having an actual comic in your hands.
Right. Well, I honestly think, though, what's happening with Marvel and DC, and why I think DC especially has pulled back the prices, is they're, you know, for the first time pretty well in history, is you're seeing monthly figures where the top comic is selling less than 100,000 figures.
Right,
Units, sorry.
Right.
And but I'm sure they have numbers that are showing that it's not being made up by downloads from whatever they're selling off of their website. So this is like let's lower the price and let's get those figures up into the low 100s, mid 100s
better books. I'd be interested to know, although those figures aren't in the 100,000s anymore, I'd like to know what the trade paperback figures are like, you know, all that kind of stuff, because I think that there's a large contingent of comic book readers out there who are only buying trades now as opposed to the weeklies. Now, this is sort of a chicken and the egg kind of thing, because, you know, you can't have the weeklies. You can't have the trades being supported without the weeklies, and some people would say that you can't have the weeklies without the support of the trades.
Right.
Certainly, comic books in the past, and I know I've talked about this before, but such as Preacher, and I'm sure Walking Dead is up there now, where, you know, the support of the trades really helps to generate interest in the ongoing series.
Yes.
Right? You know, so I don't know which one drives which. I would like to think that it's the weeklies that drive the trades, but there are a lot of people out there who buy only trades, right?
Right, right. Now, on the same within the same argument here, we're discussing, DC has announced that they're going from 22 pages of content to 20 pages of content.
Oh.
And on their more deluxe things, they're going from 30 to 20. And I think the backup stories are being dropped. So,
okay.
You know, you're in action. There's like maybe an Atom backup story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's being dropped. What they're saying, what the argument, the industry is saying, you're going to get better delivery times, because that's like 10% less work for creators, right? And so if you're producing a 22-page thing a month, now you're only producing a 20-page thing a month.
Yeah, unless you're Kevin Smith and you can't get something out for 2 years, and then, in which case it doesn't really matter, right?
All right, but now – the other argument I'm reading on the net is, well, is there going to be less work for creators because of this?
Well,
right?
That's a good point too, right? Because now, without a backup story, that means that, you know, the artists, I mean,
guys like Jeff Lemire, who's a local Ontario boy,
yeah,
who's done great with his Atom and his Superboy and stuff,
yep,
like that.
Yep.
Maybe he needed that initial chance as
for
a backup story, in one of the big titles,
well, yeah,
for the company to see how good he is, and then give him something on his own.
And really, how do you get started without doing, you know, little bit stories here and there?
Right.
I mean, you know, the days are gone where you could submit pages to DC without having done anything before and you get hired. Now, DC and Marvel both almost mandatorily, if that's a word, want to see you have kind of cut your teeth in small small press publishing before mm-hmm. you actually do anything.
Right.
You know, they're not even going to look at you until you've been published somewhere else.
Right. Well, at Marvel, while I'm on the same subject, Marvel has announced that the same show, the New York City show, that though they will not decrease their $3.99 titles, any new titles that they bring out as of January will be $2.99. So they're kind of also saying that, yeah, you know what, we're going to keep our deluxe format or our $3.99 price structure for Spider-Man and Avengers or whatever the heck they're doing, but anything new, any new title launches will be $2.99. And I mean, overall, I think it's good news for comic book fans.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, if ever there was a time when people wanted to have a cheaper comic book, I think now is probably a good time. Now, having said that, this is a perfect segue into it's a little bit of music, and of course we have my favorite and yours, the Spider-Man and Amazing Friends. Or hold on a second here, wait for it, wait.
That is smooth, Chris.
There we go.
And his amazing friends, Iceman and Firestar. Amazing Friends.
Yes, I love that.
Well, you know, I thought with the whole talk of New York Comic Con and Spider-Man being in New York and Soho and all that kind of stuff. You know, one of the interesting things, you know, I was actually talking about the New York Comic Con. I was talking with my brother, who is, hey, get him. I'm like the, you know, the nerd-ish, you know, comic book geek kind of, not too sure what's going on with the whole underworld of subcultures. Like, I know all that kind of stuff, but people don't really quite understand all that kind of stuff. Whereas I was talking with my brother today, and he is like Mr. Mainstream. He only knows about sports and football and you know, the mainstream sort of media and that kind of stuff. So a friend of mine actually sent me some links today of some of the attendees from the New York Comic Con today. And of course, there were the, I'll call it scantily clad, dressed women in various states of superhero outfits, such as Zatanna or the Invisible Woman with the extremely low-cut top kind of thing, I'll
right.
say. And I was showing my picture of brothers. I'm sorry. I was showing my brother. I can't – you know, just thinking about these, I can't even talk properly. I was showing my brother pictures of these, and he was amazed at how good looking a lot of these fans were who attend these conventions. Namely speaking, these women who are dressed in scantily clad outfits, and I was trying to get him to understand that, you know, not only are do we enjoy the comic book reading aspect of it, but one of the reasons why we as a male dominated industry goes to these conventions is for these women in scantily clad clothing, you know.
I never went to a show for this.
No, not at all. I'm sure. Yeah,
Chris. But, I know not of what you speak.
You are so full of lies, right,
Chris?
There.
You know, the good thing is that, you know, the show's almost over, which for some listeners may be a good thing. But the good thing is there's just so much material this week. I wanted to talk about CrossGen. Remember CrossGen?
Yeah. Okay.
Speaking of cantily clad women,
I got you all flustered, didn't
yeah.
I? Yeah. I
know. Well, Marvel owns CrossGen now, and word is that in 2011 they will be releasing some of the titles from CrossGen, which,
right.
You know, there were a lot of fans, and I think probably things like Sojourn.
Yes.
Things like Route 666.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Things
yeah.
like Sigil, whatever it was called.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
they,
yeah.
You know, they had a call. They had
they
call
did.
Followers.
You know what? I actually, you know what? Even though I, you know what? Even though I did forget about Route 666, that was a comic I really did enjoy. I thought it was actually an original comic. Uh-huh. And I thought, although Sojourn was...
the front runner, probably,
the front runner,
in terms of popularity.
You know, there's a lot of cookie-cutter type comics out there, like the Detective
and the
Other World with different planets and, you know, kind of weird different, you know, higher societies and that kind of thing. However, you know, Sojourn was so well done.
Yes.
You know, the writing was good. The art was amazing by Greg Land. You know, and Route 66 was actually a genuinely really interesting story. It had to do with a lot of ghosts and spirits and things like that, and demons and I was actually one of the few few CrossGen comics that followed. So I'm actually kind of happy to hear that Marvel might be doing something with them.
Well, and it's good, because what I'm happy about too is that here is a company, here's a guy that really tried to do something, to try to put fresh new material out.
Yeah.
It didn't work for him financially, and all these things are just kind of wallowing in nothingness, and here comes the big boy, Marvel, picks them up, and I hope they do them justice.
Well, you know, I don't know if I ever told you that I actually visited the CrossGen studios down in Florida.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And this is a few years ago, obviously, when they were still running. And the interesting way that they were done is that if you wanted to work for CrossGen, for the most part, you had to work there. You had to go to the Florida studios. You had to live in Florida. You had to be there. And you had to go to work every day kind of thing. And it was really interesting, because the way they worked it was that every comic book had its own sort of mini studio within this gigantic building. And so the mini studio, so you'd have your colorist, your letterer, your artist, your inker, all in one sort of pod, I'll call it. And then you go, so, you know, everybody that worked on Sojourn was in one little pod. And then everybody that worked on Route 666 was in another little pod. And so, you know, I got a chance to go around and meet all these people. Like, I met Greg Land again, and I met a bunch of different artists and writers, and, you know, like Jackson,
Bush Gardens, Tampa, Florida.
George Bush. Geis is his name.
Okay.
You know, he was a great artist. And so I met all these great people, and it was a very interesting experience. And it's unfortunate that the guy that founded CrossGen kind of eventually ran out of money, of course, because, how much money can you put into a sinking ship, right? You know, unfortunately. But it was very interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, comic fans, I think, give it a try. That's our advice, is just give it a try. Also, Chris, this is the way the industry's going now. I have to announce that the new Harry Potter movie, it's coming out very soon. I'm not sure when, a week or two.
All right.
There's a new Harry Potter movie. The excitement about this new Harry Potter movie is that the Green Lantern movie trailer will be
Right? You know what? I may actually go see the new Harry Potter movie just to see the
Green Harry Potter movie?
Harry, what are you doing, Harry? I may actually go see the new Harry Potter movie just to see the Green Lantern trailer.
What happens there? Do you see the trailer and then you walk out? Or?
You know, Here's the thing. You know, I got to tell you that there is a bit of a nerd in me, for those of you who don't know me.
Yeah.
Which
is all of you.
Years ago, I actually went to go see the movie Jingle All the Way with Sinbad, and Arnold Schwarzenegger was in it. Just so I could see the Star Wars trailer from when it was coming, when they were re-releasing the movies and all that kind of stuff. And I went to go see the movie Jingle All the Way just so I could see this stupid trailer. I spent $12, you know, so I could see a 30-second trailer.
That is fanboy. That's the epitome of fanboy.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if there's a bigger fanboy than you. And if there is...
If there is, you know what? You're more than welcome to email me all of your interesting tidbits of what kind of nerdity or frivolous money you've spent on things like going to see a trailer just to see the trailer. And if you have seen these things, please, please, please email me so I can make myself feel a little bit better about my life. And you can email me at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or Walter at bigbcomics.com.
Walt.
Or mail Walt at bigbcomics.com or mailbox at bigbcomics.com.
What I might have to do is step in there and correct Chris. It's Walt at bigbcomics.com, which I believe is what you said.
I thought I said that.
I wasn't sure if it came through with all the other filter card that you were talking.
Okay, you know what? You can. Okay, let's just try that again. Chris.Owen, that's chris.owen at mohawkcollege.com. Sorry, .ca. I even screwed that one up. Or Walt at bigbcomics.com.
All right, Chris. We have a few more. I honestly think engineer James is giving us the hand signal that we are out of time almost. And that is sad because we just got rolling.
Well, you know, as it always is with our show, we expanded it from a half an hour to an hour. And, now people are still saying that the hour is still not long enough. So perhaps if you really, really want, you can also email CFMU and let the programming director know that how much you love our show and you want us to continue
and that
on.
We need a whole afternoon.
I don't know what we talk about for a whole afternoon. But you know what? Please go out and support your local comic book retailers. Have yourself a wonderful day and enjoy comic books.
See everyone next week.